ride. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today's May 29th, 2026. And our top story this morning, I just love this Anthropic Apollo Blackstone deal that's being shopped around right now. It's like the Voltron of accounting red flags. We are cramming private credit, round-tripping circular financing, and special purpose vehicles, off-balance sheet debt, all into the same bag. And of course, we're looking at your 401k and your pension with a twinkle in our eye as we do it. That is what Apollo and Blackstone are telling us this morning. So what's going on in this deal? Apollo and Blackstone, two of the biggest players in the private credit space, they're shopping around $36 billion worth of debt for Anthropic. Right now, this debt is being taken out to buy Google's TPUs, tensor processing units. These are some of these new chips that Google has developed to compete with NVIDIA's GPUs for AI inferencing. And they were developed jointly with Broadcom. Now, Broadcom is an important player in here. Now, this will be one of the biggest private credit deals in history, one of the single largest at $36 billion. It's also the single biggest chip financing deal in history. Some of the things I've talked about over the last couple of years as I've documented this obscenely large AI bubble has been the fact that companies like CoreWeave, for example, were taking out debt and they were collateralizing the chips they were buying with that debt, and that's grossly irresponsible because electronic server equipment is rapidly depreciating in value. And so if you're using that as collateral, the value of the collateral against the loan is losing value faster than you're paying down that debt, which means at the end, somebody's going to be left holding the bag, whoever owns that debt. And so this would be the biggest example at $36 billion. I mean, some of the CoreWeave chip financing deals were like $2.3 billion, $7.4 billion. Now we're up to $36 billion here. So that's another thing that's kind of shady about this. This is also off balance sheet debt or special purpose vehicles. So what happens here is Anthropic sets up a joint venture with Apollo and Blackstone. And so it's not Anthropic borrowing the money, mind you, it's the joint venture. And so if they borrow this $36 billion, Anthropic does not have to report that debt on their balance sheet. It's invisible to Anthropic's investors who, you know, with the biggest IPO in history pending for Anthropic, you'd think that would be kind of an important detail. Off-balance sheet debt, special purpose vehicles were a huge component of the collapse of Enron and the fraud that happened at that company because they hid their debt from investors. And AI companies are doing the exact same thing. Anthropic's not the only one. OpenAI is doing it. Meta's doing it. Microsoft, Google, they're all doing this. There is hundreds of billions of dollars of this off-balance sheet debt hiding on the books, off the books of the big tech companies right now. That number could be in the trillions if this bubble doesn't pop soon enough. And of course, last but not least, this deal also includes round tripping. You've got Broadcom is actually co-signing for the debt here. They have agreed to backstop this debt that's being taken out to basically buy their own product. So if for whatever reason, Anthropic can't pay because, you know, like hypothetically, Anthropic doesn't make any money. And so if they were unable to pay, Broadcom would be forced to pay back that debt or at least the senior tranches of it, which would mean Broadcom is buying their own product from themselves. Yeah, I just love this deal. And look, this is all happening. This $36 billion deal is happening just a day after Anthropic raised $65 billion in their Series H funding round at a $965 billion valuation. Just how much cash does this company really burn through if they need to borrow $36 billion a day after raising $65 billion? I mean, the money furnace, we've called this a money furnace before. It's not a new phrase, but it seems to be getting hotter. They are expediting the rate at which they shovel cash into this furnace. By the way, that $965 billion valuation, they are now bigger than OpenAI, worth more than OpenAI. Anthropic is the big one. This surge in value in Anthropic is largely tied to the release of OpenClaw and the widespread use of AI agents, which we'll get to in just a second. Now, also this $965 billion valuation, that's almost double what they were valued at just a few months ago. So that sound you hear is Google and Amazon and anybody else who invested in Anthropic manufacturing tens of billions of dollars in paper gains on illiquid, non-marketable securities, their stakes in Anthropic. Now, that was a big component in Google's big earnings beat. They posted a $62 billion earnings in their last quarter. Almost half of that was Google marking up their stake in Anthropic. And well, now they're clear to go ahead and do that again because Anthropic just raised even more money at almost $1 trillion. So more paper earnings for illiquid assets. By the way, guys, I apologize for the sound of my voice. You could probably tell I'm still a little under the weather. All right. So while all this money raising is going on, and while I think Anthropic is in the process of peaking, we also got this story yesterday. Take this with a grain of salt. It's anonymously sourced, and it's very sketchy with the level of detail, but it is believable. Apparently, this mystery company out there somehow blew through $500 million in Claude tokens in 1 month because they forgot to turn on usage limits. One company, $500 million in a month because a guy forgot to check a box, apparently. We're seeing more and more stories like this. Companies are getting sticker shock with their token bills because of token maxing and everybody using AI agents because they were told to, but they're burning through all this money. Anthropic changed over to token-based billing. So now you're billed based on what you use, not just a monthly subscription fee. Now all these companies are getting sticker shock and they still have nothing to show for it. No return on their AI investment other than an email inbox or a bunch of summarized emails that people burn through Claude tokens in order to generate those summaries. And of course, a bunch of hallucinated citations and legal filings and whatnot. I think Anthropic is in the process of peaking. They have a very narrow window here to get this IPO done. People will buy it because people are so excited about their AI agents, not realizing that most of the people who are responsible for Anthropic's revenue blowing up are right now scrambling, panicking to start reducing that spend on Anthropic because it got out of control too fast. And I think they need to get that IPO out the door before that reality sets in. Also, speaking of big IPOs, we've got SpaceX has cut their IPO valuation or their target valuation. They initially were seeking up to $2 trillion. Now they're looking for $1.8 trillion. That's not that big of a deal, to be honest with you. Typically, valuations fluctuate a little bit pre-IPO. So I wouldn't read too much into this. But it's also worth pointing out, because I get a lot of questions, but what are my thoughts on SpaceX IPO? Even after this reduced valuation, they're still looking at 96 times sales for a company that lost $5 billion last year. Guys, this company is dog shit. And not the technology, mind you, the company, right? SpaceX is not a rocket company. SpaceX is now an AI company that does rockets on the side, because almost all of their $28.5 trillion total addressable market that they mentioned in their IPO filing is AI. And SpaceX AI business is what? They built Grok and it wasn't that good. And so they decided they're just going to rent out their data centers to Anthropic. That's basically SpaceX's AI business. And that is somehow worth $1 trillion? Not, in my opinion, no. Now, that's not to say SpaceX's rocket technology is not amazing. And that truth was laid bare yesterday with Blue Origin and the accident that they had on the launch pad. Their New Glenn rocket exploded on the launch pad yesterday. Now, look, SpaceX has had their share of rockets blow up in the last few years also. But the point is here, Blue Origin was already years behind SpaceX. And they're the closest thing to a competitor that SpaceX has, other than NASA, which is largely public or entirely publicly funded. So this Blue Origin story of this rocket blowing up on the launch pad does illustrate the massive moat that SpaceX has on the space side of things. But remember, SpaceX is not a space company now. And SpaceX is now an AI company. That's where they're getting most of their valuation from. We also have Dell is ripping on earnings this morning because AI boom. And an interesting story from the New York Fed, the personal savings rate in the United States has fallen to just 2.6% for the month of April, down from an already astronomically low 3.2% for the month of March. Higher gas prices, overall inflation, squeezing consumers, combined with, dare I say it, maybe a little bit of complacency because stock valuations are so high, people maybe feeling a little bit of the wealth effect, so they're a little bit more willing to spend because they're watching their 401ks go up in value. Just how long can that last? And historically, bad things tend to happen when the personal savings rate gets this low. We're also seeing blowing out delinquencies in credit cards, student loans, and auto loans. Although the big one, mortgages, delinquencies still remain pretty low there, even if they are rising slightly. Guys, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow or Monday, because it's Friday. Come back Monday and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every single day. And let's get through this one, shall we? The S&P 500 is higher by 10 points, 0.13% in the green this morning. The Dow is higher by 106 points, 0.21% higher. And the NASDAQ is up by 47 points or 0.16% in the green. We're looking at a dollar that is relatively unchanged this morning, 99.04% for the DXY, up about 4 basis points. Speaking of the DXY, we got some information out of Japan. Apparently, Japan intervened more heavily in the Forex market last month than we initially realized. This one in Bloomberg, Japan used a record $73.6 billion to support the yen in the past month. Guys, just to put that in perspective, that's about 1.5 times Japan, or I'm sorry, 1.5% of Japan's total GDP they spent just defending their currency last month. And it didn't even really work. Japan used a record of almost $74 billion over the past month to prop up the yen after the currency slid past 160 per dollar, according to Finance Ministry data, confirming the government's first market intervention since 2024. The ministry disclosed figures Friday for the month of April, showing total intervention of $11.73 trillion or $73.6 billion U.S. over the period marked by several spikes in the yen. The figures underscore the authorities' determination to prevent the freefall of the yen and are the first official acknowledgement that the authorities stepped into the market after the yen hit 160.72 against the dollar. A person familiar with the matter had said Japan intervened on April 30th, and speculation has continued of further rounds of yen buying in subsequent days. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent recently described sharp foreign exchange volatility as undesirable, indicating tacit U.S. approval of Tokyo's moves. But sales of treasuries to fund intervention might irk Bessent, as they can put upward pressure on U.S. yields. Now, that is an important caveat there. Yeah, Bessent doesn't want a disorderly unwind of the yen carry trade. So he's got their back. Sure, go ahead, defend your currency. But remember, where does Japan get the dollars they need to dump on the open market to buy their own currency and raise its value? Well, Japan's best source of dollars is selling U.S. Treasury bonds. And when you sell U.S. Treasury bonds, you drive their interest rates higher. And we did see interest rates on U.S. debt go significantly higher during the month of April and May. So that's another moving part in this global shock that's going on, largely derived because of what's going on with the price of oil here. And look, for all the money that Japan dumped during their intervention at the end of April. And by the way, this big red candle here, that was the big intervention they did on April 30th. And there was another one a couple of days later right here. You can see that red candle. It was largely ineffective. We're sitting here at 159.26 yen to the dollar. And when they dumped all this money, we were a little over 160. So what did they really accomplish? Very little. And just a reminder, guys, when you see this chart moving higher, that is the yen weakening. When you see it moving lower, that's the yen strengthening. So they dumped $73 billion in order to defend their currency, and all it really did was buy them a month. Looking over at the bond market, we've got U.S. yields are largely in the red this morning. The 30-year Treasury, 4.978. That's down almost 1 basis point. The 10-year yield is at 4.445, off by also almost one point. The 2-year yield is at 4.012, off by a point and change. And the 1 month is actually higher by a fraction of a point, 3.691. Looking over at Bitcoin, we are red again this morning, down another $500 at 72,999, hovering just below 73,000. Bitcoin has had a 4-day sell-off now. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got spot gold is in the green this morning, $4,523 for gold. That's up by $27 or about 0.6%. Spot silver is going a whole bunch of nowhere here, $75.62. That's off by about 4 cents or 0.05%. I still like the shiny. Copper is lower by 0.5%. Platinum is higher by 0.25%. Palladium is up by 0.29%. WTI crude is down again, $87.58. or $1.32 a barrel lower, 1.5%. Let's look at the oil chart here. We have now sold off for 7 days straight on this nonstop hopium coming out of Axios. And again, we've got more of that this morning that, you know, Axios reported midday yesterday that we've reached a deal and it just needs President Trump's approval. Honestly, I read the terms in this Axios report about this deal that's supposedly been reached slash not reached, and it's no different than anything I've read over the last month. So until we actually see boats transiting the strait unmolested, this remains nothing but jawboning and hopium. But it really has moved the price of oil. We've gone from 105 to 87 on anonymously sourced crap from Axios. Pretty significant. I'm still baffled by it, but it remains a thing. So, yeah, that's going on. But let's talk about the big one this morning. And this deal really has me shaking my head. Apollo Shops' $36 billion debt deal to buy Google chips for Anthropic. Private credit, off-balance sheet financing, round-tripping, all in the same bag. What's not to love here? Apollo Global Management and Blackstone are working to bring additional investors into a roughly $36 billion debt financing deal to help Anthropic build out its AI infrastructure. The debt will be used to purchase Google's custom chips called TPUs, or Tensor Processing Units, which Anthropic will then lease, according to people with knowledge of the matter. Broadcom, which helps Google develop the chips, is backstopping payments on the largest portion of the transaction, said the people who asked not to be identified because the information is private. Why are they co-signing for their own customers? Because, well, their own customers don't make any money, and they can't get that deal done if they don't. The move would mark one of the largest ever private credit deals and also the biggest chip financing debt transaction. It aims to tap Broadcom's credit quality to provide computing power access to Anthropic, which just eclipsed rival OpenAI in valuation. In this type of structure, a special purpose vehicle, or SPV, borrows the money and also receives an equity investment. That cash is used to buy the chips, which are then leased to a customer, Anthropic. The debt is backed predominantly by the lease payments along with the unknown long-term value of the chips. And guys, that paragraph there, this is so reckless here. Off-balance sheet debt, SPVs, a major component of the Enron collapse. They're using that to hide the debt so they don't have to report it when they IPO. So they're denying their investors vital information about how much debt the company is taking on. And that debt is being backed by lease payments from a company that doesn't make money, and also by the unknown long-term value of their chips, which anybody knows, computer equipment depreciates very rapidly. This is some dog shit debt. In this case, Anthropic is planning to lease the chips to use at sites in New York, Texas, Louisiana, and Indiana, one of the people said. Because Anthropic is still a startup and lacks the earnings to support such a large debt deal, the financing relies on Broadcom's strong credit profile, but the structure allows both companies to stay at arm's length from the transaction. In other words, they don't have to report this obligation on their balance sheet. They can hide this information from investors. I can't stress that enough. The debt has a delayed draw format, which means the money can be drawn down over a period of time as the chips become available and Anthropic's leases begin. The financing is taking the form of roughly $6 billion in A1 notes, $25 billion in A2 notes, and $4.5 billion in B notes, the people said. Final amounts are in flux and could change. The A1 and A2 notes are senior in the debt structure, according to people, meaning holders will get priority in repayment. A key feature of the deal is Broadcom providing a residual value support agreement, the people said. That means that if Anthropic fails to make the lease payments for a certain period of time, the SPV will sell the chips to pay back the debt investors. If the value of the chips doesn't make the debt investors whole, then Broadcom will make up the shortfall for 100% of the value owed to the A1 and A2 investors. So basically, Broadcom is borrowing this money, hiding it from their investors to buy their own freaking product. So Anthropic, who loses money, can lease them. Okay, good luck with all that. And again, this is just a day after Anthropic's valuation surges to $965 billion. Surpassing that of OpenAI. Anthropic said on Thursday it had raised $65 billion in a post-money valuation of $965 billion as it aims to bolster computing capacity to meet growing demand for chatbot Claude and scale its products. The new valuation after the Series H funding round puts Anthropic ahead of OpenAI, last valued at $852 billion post-money in March, intensifying a fierce battle between two for dominance in the rapidly evolving AI sector. Anthropic's valuation has more than doubled from $380 billion in February, reflecting its swift rise as a leading competitor in the AI race and intense investor demand for stakes in frontier companies. Since our Series G in February, adoption has continued to grow across global enterprise customers, and our run rate revenue crossed $47 billion earlier this month, Anthropic said in a blog. I struggle with run rate revenue every single time, by the way. So look, that sound you hear, guys, that's Google and Amazon minting tens of billions of dollars in paper gains on their illiquid securities investments in Anthropic. When you double their valuation, the money Google and Amazon invested in Anthropic a few months ago doubles along with it. Even though they don't have the cash, their cash flow is actually negative. Both companies are burning through cash, and yet their earnings keep going up because as they buy and sell chunks of these companies from each other at increasingly bloated valuations, they're booking earnings along the way, even though the money they actually have keeps going down. Look, you can do accounting gimmicks. You can do off-balance sheet financing. You can do all these silly tricks, but you can't fake money in the bank. And all these companies are running out of it very quickly. This bubble is on borrowed time. And nowhere is that laid bare more than in this article in Tom's Hardware. Mystery company accidentally blew $500 million on Claude AI in a single month. Failed to put usage limit on licenses for employees. It was an accident. $500 million. What? It was an accident. I told you I'm sorry about the whole $500 million thing. A mysterious unnamed company is reporting to have accidentally spent $500 million in a single month on Claude AI after forgetting to set usage limits for Claude licenses for employees. I bet they remember to set them next month, which would suggest that Anthropic's revenue has peaked, by the way. This staggering revelation was made as part of a new Axios report that claimed U.S. corporations are starting to feel the pinch of overzealous AI spending. All right, so I got to throw a little bit of an asterisk in here. This is Axios, and let's just say Axios's reputation, which was already pretty dog shit, took another hit recently with all this anonymous reporting on the Iran story. So let's take this with a grain of salt. That being said, the report claims that corporate leaders are starting to question whether soaring AI spending is delivering meaningful returns. One of the latest twists in the ongoing arc of massive AI buildouts and spending, which has seen AI become more expensive than hiring workers in recent months. That's important. Remember, the whole point is AI is cheaper than people. Well, they just said AI has become more expensive than hiring people. So in other words, they failed to deliver on their promise. The report states an AI consultant told Axios one of their clients recently spent $500 million in a single month after failing to put usage limits on Claude licenses for employees. Recent reports show it's pretty easy to rack up AI spending if you're not watching what you're doing, but $500 million is hardly a rounding error. In April, a Google Cloud customer woke up to an $18,000 bill despite having only $7 in the budget. Okay, slightly over budget there. That was following a security breach. And earlier in May, OpenClaw creator revealed that they had burned through $1.3 million in OpenAI API tokens in a single month. The broader report claims that companies that were previously quick to embrace AI spending are now starting to see enormous costs without necessarily getting any material return. Without getting any material return. All I can say is nobody saw that coming. Meanwhile, SpaceX is set to cut their IPO valuation goal to at least $1.8 trillion. SpaceX is currently targeting a valuation of at least $1.8 trillion in its initial public offering, according to people familiar with the matter, as Elon Musk's rocket and artificial intelligence company nears its debut. Bloomberg reported in April that SpaceX was aiming for a valuation above $2 trillion. That target is settling lower after consultations with advisors and investors, the people said, asking not to be identified. Details of an IPO, such as size and valuation, are typically adjusted ahead of pricing based on feedback from stakeholders, the people said. SpaceX is seeking to raise as much as $75 billion, which would make it the biggest IPO of all time. All right, so this isn't that big of a deal, all right? Yeah, they're seeing their valuation come down a little bit. That's not surprising. They're still trying to raise $75 billion. SpaceX pitch to investors in its IPO filing on May 20th shows the company's evolution from focusing on making reusable rockets and a profitable business providing satellite internet to an AI services and infrastructure giant dreaming of orbital data centers and conquering a total addressable market of $28.5 trillion. And again, guys, anybody interested in this IPO, you must read that paragraph several times. It's not a space company anymore. It's an AI company now. Most of its valuation is being derived from XAI, and that is questionable at best. That's not to downplay the rocket technology, but still, it's you're not buying a rocket company. You're buying an AI company. SpaceX had $18.7 billion in revenue in 2025, up from $14 billion the previous year. Okay, that's growth, but that's not amazing growth. It's good, but it's not great. During that period, the company swung from a profit of $791 million in 2024 to a loss of almost $5 billion last year. Well, that's actually terrible. All of those losses came from XAI, by the way. Again, the AI company is dragging down the rocket, if anything. And look, what are we're talking about here? We're talking about, what was it, 96 times sales? 96 times sales for a company that lost $5 billion. You know, I get it. It's 2026 and valuations don't matter. But there will come a time when people start paying attention to important valuation metrics again. And a company like SpaceX is hosed when that happens. Now, again, that's not to downplay SpaceX's technological advantage. And you could see that here with Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket explodes on launch pad. This was pretty spectacular. The video is out there on Twitter, guys, if you want to see it. This was a huge fireball. Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket exploded in a massive fireball while undergoing a test on a Florida launch pad Thursday evening, dealing a major setback to Jeff Bezos-backed firm in its effort to challenge a dominant SpaceX. The firm was preparing the vehicle for its fourth launch, which was slated to deploy a batch of satellites for Amazon's LEO, a rival satellite network to SpaceX Starlink. None of the satellites were on the rocket when it exploded, a spokesperson said. There were also no fatalities from this accident, which is very fortunate. New Glenn, which is key to Blue Origin's plans for space exploration, is years behind schedule and has faced longer than expected waiting periods between flights. The explosion is the latest blow to its reputation as a reliable alternative to SpaceX's Falcon 9. It also has a knock-on effect with Amazon's ambitions to build out its LEO satellite network, which carriers like Delta have chosen over SpaceX Starlink for in-flight Wi-Fi. The Blue Origin rocket is set to serve a key role in NASA's Artemis program, which aims to send humans back to the moon. Earlier this week, NASA awarded Blue Origin a lucrative contract to land rovers on the moon. We'll see if that Blue Origin contract for NASA is still intact after this accident or not. But this just goes to show you, despite my criticism of SpaceX as a company and its accounting practices, the technology really is incredible. And it's just way, way ahead of anybody who might call themselves competition. Meanwhile, we've got Dell is ripping on earnings this morning. Look, all this money they're borrowing and raising from investors, it's going somewhere. It's going to the hardware manufacturers. And Dell is one of them. Dell shares soar 40% after Outlook tops estimate on AI boom. Dell Technologies shares surged 38% in pre-market trading Friday after the hardware maker gave an outlook for annual sales that far surpassed analyst estimates, fueled by demand for servers that power AI work. Revenue in the fiscal year ended January 2027 will be about $167 billion, including $60 billion from sale of AI servers, the Texas-based company said Thursday. That's up from a prior outlook of $140 billion and topped analyst estimates of $142.1. I thought I had that one highlighted. For the fiscal quarter, sales jumped 88% to $43.8 billion, compared with average estimates of $35.5 billion. So that is a big beat there. In addition to AI-focused products, the results were boosted by demand for traditional servers containing central processing units. That division's revenue nearly doubled to $8.5 billion in the quarter, compared with the same period a year earlier. So look, this was a pretty spectacular quarter for Dell. And stocks are, it's just off its highs here, but still up 31 or 32%, $419, big gap up for Dell here at the open. The stock's up 179% over the last 12 months. Pretty ripping rally here. Look, they're probably also, it wasn't mentioned in the article, but I'm assuming Dell is probably gaining market share because a lot of companies have pulled back from Supermicro because of all their various chip smuggling scandals, even though that company is somehow trading at $40 a share right now. I don't know how. But hey, good quarter for Dell. Shareholders are doing pretty well. And last but not least, we got to talk about Americans' savings rates. And this may have something to do with those consumer confidence numbers out of Michigan that are just so dreadfully low. Americans' savings rate falls to lowest level since 2022 as inflation outpaces paychecks. Americans are saving less as the everyday cost of living rises and wages struggle to keep up. The personal savings rate, defined as the share of income Americans have after taxes and expenses, hit 2.6% in April, according to data from the BEA, released on Thursday. That's down from 3.2% in March and 5.8% a year prior. I thought 2.6% from April was a typo at first. It is so low, said Heather Long, chief economist at Navy Federal Credit Union. Outside of the revenge spend era of 2022, the personal savings rate has almost never been this low in the past 65 years. And by the way, the revenge spend of 2022, that's when they finally lifted those ridiculous lockdowns and everybody was allowed out of their house and they just went flush with stimmy cash and just spent everything they had as fast as they could. And of course, that didn't end so well for them. Where are we? Amid the savings crunch, many Americans are relying on credit to get by. Over a third, 37% of Americans, say they will have to use a credit card, buy now, pay later, or other type of loan to cover at least some of their expenses this month. That's a new NerdWallet survey found. That includes 35% of households earning at least $100,000 a year. That's important here, guys. I mean, $100,000 isn't what it used to be, but this isn't just the dirt poor that are struggling here. People with six-figure incomes are having to use buy now, pay later, or credit card to make ends meet. Fidelity data released Thursday also shows that more workers tapped their 401k retirement savings during the first quarter. The share of workers with an outstanding loan was 19.2%, up from 18.8% a year earlier, according to Fidelity. The shares of workers who took out a new loan or a hardship withdrawal also increased. So not good data here, guys. Nobody's saving. Everybody's spending everything they can and then some using buy now, pay later and credit card in order to make ends meet. Delinquencies are rising in credit cards to levels we last saw in 2010. Auto loan delinquencies are rising. Student loan delinquencies are rising. Again, the one silver lining here is that mortgages are still doing okay, at least for now. Mortgage delinquencies haven't started skyrocketing, although they are on the rise. It's just a very slow rise. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Apologies for the sound of my voice today. Hey, also today is Friday. That means at 2 p.m. Eastern time, it's our weekly Q&A on Zoom for my magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon, YouTube, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links are down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.